Let's talk about the recently concluded and very successful Metro Manila Film Festival with our good friend Matt Ordonez from the PI Podcast. Dito lang sa The J. Aruga Show.
Throw it to me, and we will have a party.
See my throw pillow, isn't it cool?
We'll have lots of fun inside the pool.
Come to me, baby, my fantasy.
Throw your throw pillow under the sea.
Do you want to borrow it?
Yes, I want to.
Kumusta? Welcome to another installment of Dirty Pop in the J. Aruga Show podcast, where we talk about TV and movie with my podcaster friends. And this week, we'll talk about the recent Metro Manila Film Fest. And here to join us is the host of PI Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, a friend of the podcast, Matt Ordonez. Matt, kumusta?
Hi, good evening, Jay. Thank you for inviting me. It's been great. It's great to be here as a long-time listener, first-time guest.
I've been meaning to invite you, pero hindi pa ito yung main na podcast guesting mo because, syempre, we're just talking about movies. Someday, sure. I'll invite you to talk about what you talk about sa PI Podcast. So,
I mean, any reason to be here is all right. You know? It's all good. And I love movies, so yeah.
Thanks for accepting my invite. I know you're a very busy man.
Mm.
So
I mean, it's still in the holiday, so it's fine.
All right. To the listeners who just heard about you, I talk about PI Podcast sa the J. Aruga Show because I've guested on your podcast twice. But for the listeners who just heard about PI Podcast, can you tell us what the podcast is all about?
Well, this is an extension of my career as a political scientist and a teacher in political science. But of course, it's not the classroom setting. It's just a way of having conversations with a lot of people that I don't necessarily always agree with or people that I want to learn from. So it's a different way of talking about politics because, I mean, when we were looking at the podcast environment, same as you did before you did the J. Aruga podcast, you know, the political podcast seem to be more like extended news forums and not really things that talk about the big ideas or like going deeper into Philippine culture, etc. So me and my then co-host, Anthony Borja Borge, you know, we thought of doing our own twist on it, you know, to have deeper dives into it. And then we eventually started inviting people of various political inclinations, like yourself and others, like Marxists, environmentalists, conservatives, etc. So we have all sorts of guests and we learn from them and we exchange ideas. And I think it's, in a way, promoting a more constructive way of talking about politics and not just puro awayan, puro mga blind items. So, so hopefully it's a way of building more constructive conversations about politics, philosophy, and, you know, popular culture here in the Philippines. So sometimes we talk about the news, like Slice of PI, you know, and other times we, I love that, right? And sometimes we talk about the films. We call it the Film Institute, PI, Film Institute. So we sometimes review films that we consider interesting or out there, you know. So, and it's a great excuse to discuss films because not all films are political, you know, but we talk about the political relevance of cinema. So, there.
All right. I honor what you do in PI Podcast, taking different ideas, different sides. Kaya when someone asked me kung may masasuggest akong podcast na iba sa, no, sa side ko, which is I'm a conservative podcaster. I point to your podcast because you interview different sides. So yon, Matt, we'll talk about the recently concluded 2023 Metro Manila Film Festival, which is very successful. Sa mga hindi nakakalam, ang Metro Manila Film Fest or MMFF is a yearly celebration of Filipino movies organized by the MMDA, wherein come Christmas season, every theater in the country will only show these films featured in the MMFF. And sometimes people hate it, Like nung time na we were deprived from seeing Spider-Man No Way Home. Mm-hmm. Parang nainis yung mga tao nun. And sometimes people love it. This year, I think people loved it because who cares about Aquaman 2, di ba? Parang yun lang yun natin na panood. So, Matt and I will discuss the top 5 highest grossing films this year. Ako, I can only comment on the 3 that I saw. But before that, Matt, what's your general take on Pinoy movies? Have you always been a fan of it?
Yes, actually, you know, initially, you know, growing up, I was more of like into the Western cinemas, you know, with all the franchises. Like I watched Matrix, Star Wars, and all that. And then as I grew older, you know, I suppose that's where the MMFF came in, you know. And actually, my parents, well, it's weird because my tastes are developed from my relationship with my parents. You know, my dad is actually a film major. And every time would talk about, we finished watching a movie, he would talk about different things. Like he noticed how the camera work was moving or the acting, very in-depth stuff. I mean, he's not a film maker by trade, you know, but his course was film. So he would have these technical notes. And but my mom is much more, what's the word? Her tastes are more conventional. Mas pang Pinoy, you know, mas malapit sa pang masa. Masa. Although, of course, she's somewhat outgrew that. She's now into K-dramas. But back in the day, she would also bring me to Metro Manila Film Festivals to watch shows like, you know, Tanging Ina, you know. Again, that's a title, you know, the Wendy dramas. Yes, you know, and Tinga Pisote, you know, which I enjoyed, actually, when I was much younger. People use that as a symbol that it's trash, you know, but I used to like it, especially when my tastes were simpler as a kid. But now, of course, I empathize with some people who want more, you know, and I think, of course, you know, MMFF, you know, I started paying attention because there were a lot of interesting developments, like in 2012 with the El Presidente and all that. What it was historical, you know, it was more of a vanity project near Estrega in that time, you know. So, but it was it was highly, well, it grossed really high, but it wasn't, well, the qualities, it wasn't perfect, let's just say that. And then after that, you know, there's the usual Eric Mati, you know, the On the Job, what's the word? Honor Thy Father. So interesting mixture with more serious filmmaking mixed with commercial filmmaking, like the Ending Capisote, the Vaisganda films. And then, of course, the pandemic happened. And it never, cinema never really returned. You know, I mean, we eventually watched, you know, The Batman. I think that was the first film I watched after the pandemic, but Filipinos, for Filipino films, not so much. Like 2021, 2022, not so much. So it's only now that we've really, quote unquote, returned, especially when you reach the hundreds of millions now in the box office. And it's important to, I think it's important we just dissect why, but there have been a lot of changes. Like for when it was during the pandemic, there was some interesting experimentation going on. You know, people started showing different types of films. Like in 2020, I believe it was Fangirl done by Tonetta Downey, which was very dark.
Actually, yun yung gusto kong movie noon sa MMFF. Okay. So,
Which again, it was a good shot, like attempt at experimentation film. In 2021, there was this film called Whether the Weather is Fine, which featured Daniel Padilla, not as a love team with Catherine and Bernard or heartthrob, but so, as a victim of, you know, a typhoon, Yolanda, was based on that. But it's also a dark comedic. He starred with, I believe, Ate Charo Santos. So it's two actors that are out of their element. And it's a very weird film. And I think it's interesting, but not a lot of people watched it. I think the MMFF, at least right now, is trying, it's still finding that balance of having interesting films while also being appealing to a lot more people to be marketable, you know, because I think commercial viability is a criteria for judging the films of Metro Manila Film Festival. But again, because in trying to be commercial, it ends up being, well, cynical. It tends to be goes down market, medyo bobo.
People,
yeah, diba?
People don't take it seriously. At least sa middle class na ano, diba? Na film goers. In my view, I think what contributed din to the death of Filipino movies is not so much the quality. I think it was not able to compete with Hollywood. Kasi let's say nung height nung Marvel Cinematic Universe, if you release a Filipino film, hindi nalalayo yung release date sa Marvel film, di ba? Parang good luck na lang. And that's why recently I posted in Twitter na if I'm a Pinoy film producer with the success of this year's MMFF and the continuous flop of Hollywood movies these days, I think I'd strike while the iron is hot to revive
that is true.
Philippine cinema.
I mean, come to think of it, you know, people aren't complaining. Because I think the reason why it did so well is because the only competition is Aquaman 2. So, and maybe Wonka. Wonka was actually okay.
But
it wasn't well marketed or like it wasn't as an explosive event. And people are getting tired of superhero movies. So it is a good. It came at the right time.
Yes.
You know, when people don't care about foreign films as much. Yeah.
All right, pag-usapan natin ang MMFF 2023. And of course, spoiler alert sa mga nakikinig ng podcast. So, please be warned that we'll talk yung mga spoilery subjects about the movies that we'll discuss. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's start with the best picture. Tama ba? Mm-hmm. Firefly is the best picture this year? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll start. I like the production nung Firefly. I like the effects. And pinanood namin yung Firefly because re-recommend ito nung pari dun sa, nagsasermon siya. He liked the movie. I think I told you this sa chat. I need a bit more of suspension of disbelief to accept that a kid, yung bida si Tonton, can trick four adults to bring him to an island that no one is even sure if it even exists. So, yun yung pinaka premise nung movie. And but I rarely comment on the acting sa mga movies. When we were chatting before we recorded this, hindi ako masyadong nagko-comment on the acting. But this one, I think si Alessandra De Rossi is a good choice. Ang galing niyang umarte. And ito usual na criticism ko sa mga Pinoy movies and telenovelas. Kapag ang character nakatira sa slums, hindi ko lang kung bakit ang pinaka-mistisahing artista yung pinukuha nila.
Yeah.
Tapos parang laging naka-rebound yung buhok. Yun yung kinakast nila. But this one, not to say na si Alessandra is not beautiful, but hindi ko din sinasabi na mukha siyang mahirap. I'm sure mayaman siya kesa sa akin, but bagay siya dun sa role and I appreciate that. So that's my take on Firefly. How about you?
Sure. Well, it's funny because on the one hand, when I try to judge a film, you try to judge it based on, you know, the standards of its genre. And I think it's a part of a genre that is definitely present in the Philippines, but the Philippine media is touch and go about it. Like, of course, it's done from a perspective of a child. That, of course, we know Santino, Magnifico. Magnifico, actually.
I love that movie.
Yes. And I think there's, because it's from a perspective of a child, in a way, there's a bit, when you're a kid, the world is new and magical to you. So in some cases, even adults who would watch that film should be able to feel like a child again. You know, it's you empathize with a child and you be like a child. And that's the thing about movies. You know, you have permission to have a different perspective that's different from yours. And I think that not only is it quite rare, you know, not since Magnifico that there was a very powerful film through a child's eyes. But I think what it tried to do with the story of, in this case, Tonton, is that it highlighted the importance of stories, a well-told story. It's not a story to gain money, not a story to promote certain actors and actresses, although to an extent it did promote that. But it wasn't about the actors. It wasn't about the killing factor of love teams. It was just telling a story about stories. What a story can do, especially, number one, when you're poor, when you're a small child, weak, you know, afraid, has had a traumatic experience. And yet it was that stories that gave him the strength to carry on, to remember his mother, to remember his capacity of being brave. So, and I think that's what touched a lot of people, you know. And I suppose you said that he tricked these his co-stars, his adventure team, but it's like, in a way, what got them on his side, even after his lie was revealed, is that they believed in his story. You know, it's a story that motivates people to go on a journey. You know, because several times throughout the movie, the character said it made no sense. Baka mahuli ka pa. Baka ibalik ka sa kulungan. There's one that's a former prisoner, played by Epi Quizon. But they went because they wanted to honor a child trying to remember his mother. That story, I think, touched a lot of people's hearts.
Nice.
You know, and I think that's what made it
the best
important.
Picture.
Yeah.
Hey, listeners, what do you think? You please comment sa comment section. What do you like about these movies? Does Firefly deserve to be the best picture this year?
Yeah.
So, hey, thanks for your insight, Matt.
Thank you.
Galing. I never saw it that way. Nung pinapanood ko siya, kasi I'm watching it through an adult eye lens. Mm-hmm. And since you put it that way, na to watch it according to its genre, which is from the eyes of the kid, maybe I'll need to rethink how I view this movie when I watch it again.
Yeah.
Okay. Then let's go to the next movie, Rewind. And ito, Matt, you recommended this to me. And that's the only reason na pinanood ko to. Dahil recommend mo. And I learned na ito yung highest grossing right now. As we speak sa Metro Manila Film Fest. And when I saw it, I see why this is the highest grossing. Because nagulat ako sa Rewind. It's unapologetically pro-family and religious. Which I think are the hallmarks of the Pinoy films in the past.
Yes.
Parang, I was thinking, good, we're still doing these.
Yes.
As for coming from a conservative podcaster. So, natuwa ako dito. And because of that, I like the movie.
Yes.
I think if Pinoy movies are to survive, we shouldn't lose this aspect. I think the Philippine audience missed that feel-good pro-family movies that we rarely get from foreign films these days. Kaya ito yung this is what we bring to the table, these kinds of movies. That's what I think na identity ng Pinoy movies. It's okay to have those yung mga other woman movies every once in a while, but I hope we don't lose these movies. And yun nga, may konting disappointment lang. I mentioned dun sa chat with you, medyo hindi sophisticated yung pag-deal nating Pinoy sa mga ganitong movies. Because hindi naman original yung ganitong movies. Para siyang Groundhog Day. I think meron ding yung kay Tom Cruise, yung paulit-ulit. I forgot the title, kasama si Emily Blunt.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow, di ba? Parang movies na one day, repeating. I think the concept. So I was expecting that sa Rewind. I was hoping may multiple try si Ding Dong. And yun pala isang Rewind lang. And ang criticism ko dito sa movie is I'm trying to wrap my head. Bakit advantage na si Ding Dong is the one who dies? Parang, parang Marian died. So spoiler ulit. Marian died. Then si Ding Dong, he made a deal with a character who I think is Jesus, who depicts our Lord. And medyo i-overlook ko na yung depiction ng movie kay Lord. So medyo baka controversial siya sa iba, but I'll try to overlook na lang. I don't think na wala masyadong advantage si Ding Dong is the one who dies. And the ending that I might have liked is si Marian pa rin yung nag-die. Because Ding Dong realized na we cannot have it any other way after multiple retries. Or pwede rin, ano, his father na ano, he haven't talked to for a long time. And I'm thinking maybe he could be the one to sacrifice para sa anak niya na ano, na matagal niyang hindi nakausap. And those are possible things na I'm thinking maybe the movie could go there. Also, ang nagustuhan ko sa movie is this evangelization factor, something we're missing sa Pinoy movies. At some point, medyo naging cringy sa akin yung masyadong maraming, "I love you, Dad." ito lang yun, ano, ito yung pinaka-gripe ko sa movie. At some point in the movie, when Ding Dong was reliving the day before Marian died, he tried to do things right. So he was a bad father, a bad husband, and the day before, parang he messed up. Then when he talked to kay Lods, who represent the Lord, he made things right. He was given a second chance, and may scene doon when he learned that Marian will go to Singapore to fulfill her dreams as a chef or a baker. Di ko alam. There's a slight feminism angle nga. Pero okay lang. But
she gave her life.
Yeah,
medyo
parang yung isang ano ko, isang there's nothing wrong with being a mother or a wife. But sige, I'll overlook that. But if I were Ding Dong in that situation, knowing that my wife was hiding the fact that she's going to work in Singapore and will migrate there. Actually, kung alam kong mamamatay ako, I would be happier knowing that I will die. Na ako yung breadwinner sana. Parang dapat I'm worried bilang breadwinner. Tapos isipin ko, if I die, paano nalang yung pamilya ko? Because I chose to die instead of si Marian. Paano sila mabubuhay? Then I learned na, ay, naku, magsi-Singapore pala tong asawa ko. May nakuha pala siyang trabaho. This is the answer. Mabubuhay yung pamilya ko because she found a job. So I think those are mga little nitty-gritty na naging... Yeah. Complain ko lang when I watch the movie. Okay naman siya. I love that pro family angle. So yun, Matt, medyo mahaba yung sinabi ko, but about you.
No, I actually want to build on what you said because in fact, I have to say first of all, this sounds like big sweeping statements, but these are just observations and theories of someone who is observing. Like I'm not an expert, but I do look at it as with a social science lens. So there's something about, of course, Filipino as an important value towards... No, family as an important value to Filipinos, is what I'm saying. And take note this, you know, people normally equate Metro Manila Film Festival as Philippine cinema. Kung pangit ang mga pelikula sa MMFF, pangit ang buong cinema. And that's not the case. You know, there are different film festivals for different audiences, you know, like there's Q Cinema for like Southeast Asia, there's Cinema Live for independent cinema. But MMFF is particularly important because it is precisely catered to families. This is the time of year where kids don't have school, parents may have a Christmas break, so this is the only time they can watch together as a family. That's the primary audience. And I think for the longest time, largely, not necessarily the top, but some of the best films in MMFF had a family angle, like the Tanging Yaman films, Ang Tanging Ina, even, you know. The films.
And yung Manopo or...
Manopo, yes. And... even the Vice Ganda films.
Oh, yeah.
Private Benjamin is about a gay soldier talking about their gay father, trying to win their gay father's approval, you know, again, based on what I remember. And even Girl Boy Baklak Tomboy is about them trying to stay as a family, even with their gender identities. So even though Enteng Kapisote is about families. So I think when MMFF lost its way, it stopped focusing on family content. If you look at, remember 2016, there was a time where a lot of the, cultural critics and independent filmmakers loved it. but it didn't get mass appeal. You know, there were good films, but it didn't get a lot of the Filipino film goers on because they weren't necessarily family films. I mean, the one that best was Sunday Beauty Queen. Of course, it's an important struggle of OFWs, but it's not. I mean, there's some family elements, but it wasn't mainly about families. In fact, the last one of the better films actually is Family Matters last year. So I think the best MMF films tries to at least talk about families. With regarding to, of course, the reason why it's a top grocer, it really is like what you said.
Tearjerker siya, actually. Tearjerker siya. Medyo...
Certainly, yeah. I was saying that Ting Tong and Marian have their fans. In fact, they are... I've talked about people in the community who are the film entertainment industry. Parang sila lang ang kaya humila ng ibang ng ganitong karaming tao. Wala nang Katniel, wala nang Jadine, or even Al Dub, di ba? Actually, even Alden Richards fans didn't really support that much his movie, Family of Two, with Sharon Cuneta. But it was really the Ding Dong and Marian fans. So it's the love team that brought them to the film. But with regard to the content, like what you said, I think it, of course, highlights the importance of family and love, you know, the father's love. Take note. I don't know if you talked about seen this in media, but fathers, even in Western and here in the Philippines, don't really have a great reputation.
And I've been meaning to say din nga pala dun sa, sa Firefly is the same, di ba? Parang yung fathers, yung father dun, kontrabida. So yeah, I get your point. And yeah, go ahead.
And this was the time where he actually, well, spoiler alert, he actually does the right thing. But of course, the other thing can be said, it's a star cinema film. In all star cinema films, it's palagi din kanyan yung mga lalaki sa mga rom-com. Sa pang, sila yung salbahe, sila ang dapat mag-sorry sa huli sa babae. So probably it's because it's a female audience, di ba? Na, well, their market is primarily catered to the feminine sensitivities. And they want to see the male lead learn their lesson. You know, so parang, he wasn't likable at first. But this is him, you know, learning his lesson. And I think, well, regardless of the gender politics, I think it's a good thing. But I want to, and last thing, I want to comment on this, and I want to press you on this because what do you think about the use of Christ or Pepe, played by Pepe Herrera?
Actually, yun nga yung sinabi ko, I'm willing to overlook that. Medyo cringy. Actually, others would say na parang disrespectful. Okay. But the Lord has been disrespected a lot of
in
times.
In worse ways.
in worse ways. So, just for the sake na I don't, kaya dun sa review ko, sinabi ko na I criticize it on other aspects. Dahil, instead na dun sa, mag-dwell ako dun sa, I'll try to overlook yung ano yung because we in the past parang si Santino dati you mentioned Santino di ba si bro niya so they depicted Christ although I don't think na parang may person who represents Christ dun sa Santino although dito medyo parang comical yung ano yung pag represent niya kay Christ di ba hindi ko alam kung si Christ talaga yung nirepresent niya, it would have been better kung angel na lang siya ni Lord. At least medyo hindi ganun ka-controversial. So, uneasy ako dun sa, ano, sa depiction kay Christ. And, hindi ko alam, mas maganda kung ginawa na lang nilang messenger or angel or but, I don't have a strong opinion on that. What I did is tinry ko lang na hindi maruin yung panonood ko by kind of overlooking that aspect. Hindi naman siya ganun ka in fairness hindi naman siya ganun ka bastos in a sense because wala naman siyang sinasabi na parang blasphemous. It's just the character na parang this is the Jesus who is parang buddy-buddy type. And I've seen the Lord being depicted that way. Kung makikita nyo yung mga pictures
the Buddy Christ. Yeah,
Buddy you know Christ. That one? And yung picture niya, nagigitara or naka,
like merong basketball,
Harley Davidson. Yeah. So I think that's what they're trying to attempt here. I would understand if others would think of it as blasphemous, pero for myself, just to enjoy the movie. Actually, ang linagay ko na lang sa isip ko is this guy is an angel na lang na who represents the Lord eh, para hindi ko masyadong isiping blasphemous, because in the Bible there are many instances of that na sinasabi na parang this is the Lord, but actually this is an angel na who represents the Lord. So in my mind, yun yung ginawa ko para ma at least hindi ma-outrage while watching the movie.
Right.
So yeah, thanks for asking me that question. Yeah. So baka yung mga ibang listeners nito magalit sa akin, parang how dare you, Jay, na ginawa. Yeah. That's what you thought.
I mean, yeah. I think most of us won't see it as a theological text, no, na parang ito yung talaga si Cristo. Although of course, he is again the plot device that allows him to rewind in the first place. Although I think since because so many people can't guarantee that people won't misread it. Ganito si Jesus. Like, that is part of his powers. When in fact, in the Bible, it's not canon that he can reverse time or something like that.
Oh, no.
But I think it's, well, it's possibly dangerous because, again, it highlights Christ as a wish-granting genie, or like, it's a common trope identical to, say, for example, the magical Negro. You know, there's an African-American character who talks to a white person and solves their problems, like, you know, Bruce Almighty, you know, Morgan Freeman. He is God, but he is the one who gave him, again, magical aspects and changed everything.
And if you're going theological, si Ding Dong Dantes would go to hell. Kasi, alam mo,
strictly speaking,
Strictly speaking, kasi nagbago na lang naman yung isip niya. Parang kaluluwa na lang siya nung nagbago na yung isip niya eh. Parang he already died eh. Tapos biglang parang naipag-deal pa siya na ano, na parang hindi, pwede bang baguhin mo yung ano, yung course? Pwede bang mabuhay ako?
But I think Grant is which na mabago yung lahat ng buhay ng mga kasama. All the characters would have changed their lives because of him.
But strictly speaking, parang dead na siya nung ano, nung nagbago yung isip niya. And parang kailangan magbago ka while you're alive. If you're going theologically technical, I can see a lot of holes dito sa movie na to, beside sa bin-ring up mo at sa bin-ring up ko. And although top grosser siya, I can understand also why top grosser siya, because what you mentioned.
I just hope people discuss a bit more and clarify things. Hindi ganito si Jesus. It's just a version, a fictional version.
I good thing na binring up yon. And I was talking to my wife about this nga. And yung mga binring up ko sa'yo earlier, I told you, I'll be willing to overlook how they depicted Christ, but yung mga gripes ko are siguro yung aspect dun sa rewind thing that we've seen in a lot of movies. Anyway, Matt, so I'm ready for the next movie. So speaking of fathers, yung ito yung next movie natin are about three fathers, three priests.
Majoha.
Yon, Gumbursa. So
Gumbursa, right.
Actually, I've been told before the film fest, kasi may mga nakanood na rin ng screening ng Gumbursa, and they liked it. So I've been looking forward to this. And you mentioned, guy, ikaw yung nagsabi sa akin to watch Gumbursa.
Yes.
After that, nag-search ako sa Malolos. I was very disappointed na yung dalawang movie house dito doesn't show Gumbursa. And hindi ko lang, maybe they're meaning to, tinag ko sila para, hoy, palabas yung Gumbursa. And I told them what you told me. As a historical place Malolos, parang dapat tayo nagpapalabas nito mga historically related movies.
Hindi lang Malolos eh. it features the Cavite Mutiny, and for a time it wasn't featured in Cavite, and the historians in Cavite are like, what the hell? So yeah, that's another big issue. A lot of people are interested, but it wasn't available in a lot because, well, that brings up another issue of MMFF is a lot of the, well, cinema houses that distribute the films, they tend to have a bias towards the commercially viable films, start with the big stars and with the sponsors and studios. They didn't have a lot of faith in it until people on the internet started campaigning that please show us Gambuirsa. So it moved from 30 in the beginning, roughly speaking, up to 130. So that's the power online campaigning, you know? So it's amazing. So sorry, you want to say more?
Gusto ko lang sabihin na in just 3 days after that campaign, may hashtag sila eh. Hashtag ipalabas ang Gumbursa. There's one movie house, I told you, dalawa yung movie house sa Malolos. The other one, pinalabas na nga yung Gumbursa after 3 days ng campaign.
Wonderful.
And eventually, the other one also showed Gumbursa. So, ayun. I think, I like Gumbursa, but of course, when it comes to historical films, I'm not sure if you agree with me, ang naging gold standard natin ngayon is General Luna and Goyo. I'm not sure. Yeah. Parang they seem to be the gold standard these days pagdating sa historical films. There's a production value. And
yes,
I hear some comments na yung battle scene daw dito sa Gumbursa is bad. But hindi siya General Luna level.
Yeah.
Pero I think the acting is good. Hindi ko lang kung tama yung mga Espanyol nila or Latin, but they delivered it well. I like the production. Medyo I can see na mahirap i-pull yung mga 19th century Philippines because you'll have parang yung mga costumes or yung mga setting, kailangan mong i-set yon. Siguro mag-nitpick lang sa mga negative aspect ng movie. Ang sinabi ko sa iyo na medyo hindi ko gusto. Hindi naman sa hindi ko gusto. Parang I'm just nitpicking. Since religious group yung nag-produce ng movie, parang missed opportunity lang sana to put some evangelization stuff sa film. Just like what Star Cinema did sa Rewind. Although yung Star Cinema kasi is not a religious organization like JESCOM. Kaya hindi ko sila pinuput on the same standard sana na parang JESCOM, parang mga Jesuits kayo or might as well, di ba? Parang bilang mga pare, never ko nakita yung Gumbursa na nagdasal sa movie. I don't know, baka historically accurate naman na ganoon sila or kaya ganoon yung characterization nila. But they already did some parang may creative freedom na rin naman sila ginawa doon sa ending, di ba? Yung nangumpisal, nagbigay sila ng confession to each other is a creative freedom. So, if they're allowed to do that, might as well.
Yes.
I think si Padre Gomez sana would be a good candidate to be the voice of evangelization. Although he mentioned Romans 8:18 sa dulo, pero parang pilit na lang yung dating. Parang, by the way, we need to put God in the movie. So let's do Romans 8:18.
Right.
Something to ponder na lang siguro sa mga taga JESCOM. When I say evangelization sa movies, it's not yung mga corny type na gaya ng ginagawa ng mga nasa God's Not Dead series. I'm not sure if aware ko na sa God's Not Dead series. I mean yung mga cool kind, gaya ng ginagawa ng Angel Studios, yung production house behind Sound of Freedom and The Chosen. And may bagong silang movie, The Shift, which I hear is maganda raw. So, I'm hoping sana JESCOM would take that challenge. Yeah. Although, okay siya sa nationalism aspect. I think that's what they aim talaga eh. Yung ma-feel mo na parang proud ka maging Pinoy. Mm-hmm. Here's my hot take lang, Matt.
Yeah.
I think yung nationalism is more irrational to be maging ano, maging loyal ka sa bansa mo than to religion. Because of this, ito, hot take to ha. Because with nationalism, with your country, wala kang choice eh. Kung saan bansa ka, ipapanganak out of many. But with religion, it's you can choose your religion eh. Parang, kaya, kung gusto mong maging loyal or maging proud sa isang religion, it's because you choose it. Pero pagdating sa, ano, sa bansa, parang it's not something...
People choose their nationalities all the time. That's why they will go to the United States.
Yeah. But for the most, for most people, parang ito yung bansang pipiliin kong puntahan because gusto ko maging proud European or yun yung ano. Tama ka. People can choose to go yung country, but hindi siya yung default thing na parang. Pag pinanganak ka, okay, I'll choose this point in the world where I'll give my loyalty to. For many people in a country, parang wala silang ganung luxury to...
Sure.
Hot take lang. So, I think isang buong episode yun, pero siguro real quick lang.
I mean, that's why I think the film is great because it does pose a lot of important questions. And I think if you compare it, at least if you're comparing it to Rewind, I think this is certainly more theological than Rewind. I was about to say, I was thinking about it. Rewind is actually an anti-Job story. It's the opposite of Job. When Job suffers and he talks to God, God does not give him an answer. In Rewind, he said, oh, you're suffering? It's because ganito ka. So there's a clear answer to your faith, which is not the case. That's the point of faith.
Yeah.
You don't have a calculation. Yeah, for
just a
being
moral. Real quick. Yeah. Kaya nga nabanggit ko na maganda sana yung Rewind. After many tries, lalabas na si Marian pa rin kunwari yung someone who should have died or yung acceptance.
Yeah. You know? Well, insider scoop, I won't say who, but someone from the production team said that apparently it had problems in terms of budget, you know, so they had to cut the script. There were a few cycles, but we don't know. We'll never know since they never filmed.
We'll never know.
Medyo, yung schedule din ng mga stars medyo mahirap. So we'll never know, but that was a part of the original plan. But back to Gumburza.
Okay, go ahead. Wag natin tanggalin yung focus sa Gumburza because it's a good film. And
yes.
I think it deserves actually a whole episode. But sige.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Here's the thing. I think what it's trying to do, and this is what I wrote when I actually published something in Rappler about this, is that Gumburza shows Filipino not as a race or not as being forced to it. It offers an opportunity to be deliberately Filipino. In other words, you have to consciously be Filipino. And take note,
especially in Padre Burgos, di ba? Burgos.
Yes, Burgos. Because he has Spanish blood, technically. Mukhang siya mestizo. Hindi siya mukhang Indio. But he chose to speak for the Filipinos by publishing a manifesto. And eventually calling himself a Filipino and dying as a Filipino. So it is a choice. It is a deliberate act, like a profession of faith, you know. But it's something that is, arguably, you know, it's compelling in a different way comparing to God. You know, the notion of God is compelling. But the idea of nationhood, it's something that is, that you have to be more, how you say, it's more social. It's dependent on your relationship with other people as well. It's being able to feel empathy also for Padre Zamora, who saling pusa lang siya, wala siyang kaalam-alam. He had nothing to do with the mutiny or the nationalist movement. He was just a gambler, played by Enchong D, and then he just was framed for something he did not do. And I think that is what ties all quote-unquote Filipinos together. So Filipino is not a race. It is just everyone who has experienced injustice in the country, in the island. So kasama yung mga mestizo de Sanglay, mestizo de Espanol, you know, the people with part Spanish blood. Of course, all the Indios, kasama din yung mga Tagalog, Ilocano, Cebuano. And I think, so that's what the Filipino Revolution is all about. It's beyond ethnic or racial identity. It is about fighting for injustice and identifying, you know, identifying yourself as such and demanding your desire, or well, demanding your own dignity as a person. Because Gomez, again, he shared more genetic characteristics with the friars, and they did not see him as an equal person. Yeah, and so it's a very deep sentiment that, in a way, many of us relate to, maybe perhaps even politically. And it's amazing how people haven't gotten fights over Gomburza, because I think a lot of us needed national healing after the elections. So it didn't. It wasn't no longer about Kakampink or DDS, Unity, whatever. You know? We all agreed that being a Filipino is important, and that's what the film kind of miraculously did.
Thanks. That's a good point, actually. Thanks for explaining that. It's something to ponder. Galing. Thanks for that. Okay. Aside from Gomburza, Firefly, and Rewind, there are two movies na nasa top grossing. Top five ng Film Fest that I haven't seen. And maybe you could give me your take on these two movies. So, Malyari and is it Two of Us? Tama ba yung isa or?
A Family of Two.
A Family of Two, sorry. Family of Two. Okay. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Matt. So, what are your take on these movies?
I'll try to do this quickly because there's a lot to be said about these two as well. Now, Malyari, I think, well, it's also about priests, you know. It's based on the historical accounts of the first serial killer in Asia, which happens to be a priest who started killing people na sabihin natin mga salot ng lipunan, yung mga makasalanan na tao, diba? So mga thieves, whores, etc. And so eventually it starts out as that, and it was marketed as a horror film, but then since we're at spoilers, it started adding like may mga mangkukulam, mga aswang, there's even time traveling, and of course there's so much. And there's also intergenerational stories of a family, you know. And Piolo, by the way, is very hardworking. He plays four characters. A lot of the films are very theological. It features a priest, and that priest has a vision of Saint Bartholomew, I think, if I'm not mistaken, who is also played by Piolo Pascual. So he plays.
In this movie, four characters siya.
Yes.
On top, sa characters na pinlay niya dun sa iba pang movies sa film.
Yeah, he also played Father Pelias in Gomburza.
May isa pa yata siyang movie who he's a part of. I'm not sure, baka producer lang.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of Piolo dito pala sa film fest. Okay, go ahead.
Which is, I'm pretty sure he'd be pissed off he did not win, like, best actor. Kasi siya para pinakamasipag. Kasi his characters do a lot. But based on the description, it's actually quite bloated. Nakakapagod siya panoorin. Nakakaaliw kasi okay yung production. Halatang parang may budget sila compared to, say for example, Rewind, which by the way, spoilers alert, if you watch Rewind, and like Marian Rivera just suffered a car accident. Napansin namin na yung kasama ko, parang maganda pa rin siya, na parang kulang sa dugo kumpara sa Malyari, na ang dami-daming dugo, pero di naman kailangan, di ba? So, it's like, could you have shared a bit of blood to Rewind, you know? Because it's a weird thing. Rewind is actually a very cheaply, simply made movie, but the story holds up. This is a very expensively made movie, which, by the way, is has in partnership with Warner Brothers. And yet, I feel like they did so much with it that eventually it got very messy. And again, a lot of people liked it. It is number two, I think, in top grosses because people, I think, are hungry for good horror. And dahil wala din yung Shake, Rattle, and Roll. So I think they're also able to. It's also based on a family, by the way. Like, Viola plays different males of different generations, like the descendants of Father Malyari. So it's passed on. The curse of the family is passed on. So there's a family element again. But again, I can't really say it's deeper meaning because it was too difficult to understand. And I think it's also symptomatic of the horror genre here. Like parang yung music pa lang, kailang dito ka mabigla, like, boom, boom.
Medyo spoiled din.
Yes. You're trying, like in any Filipino movie, they try to guide you, like dito ta magal, nakaka, Nakakagulat to, nakakatakot to. Pero parang,
Uh-oh.
you just let the scene play out as is. They try to overcook horror. And sometimes the serious parts are the moments of silence wherein all of a sudden there's something at the corner of your eye. And I think that's what a lot of
I think
horror
with Japanese,
films... Yes, they don't understand that.
Actually, yung mga Western horror movie, film, movie house, they took the Japanese style na, di ba? Dati yung West, yung Hollywood, when they do horror and damaging background music, just like what you mentioned sa Malyari, but na-realize na that I think Japan is doing it correctly na parang silence, then yung jump scare, di ba? Parang yun. So, anyway, yes, so that's Malyari.
The last part, I think, is The Family of Two, which, again, family-oriented. And you would expect to be a strong contender considering there's a fan, the fans of Sharon Cuneta, which was a who was a big star in the 90s, and Alden Richards, who was a bigger star with when Al Dub Phenomenon, you know, fame. But it didn't, I suppose it did a modest win, but I think it did well precisely because it wasn't as ambitious. It didn't try too hard. It didn't put too much blood or special effects or overacting. In fact, it's weird because I know people who followed Sharon's career, Ate Shawi's career, medyo OA siya minsan. Shadow nagpapa-cute. Pareho silang nagpapa-cute kaya bagay silang mag-ina, di ba? But I think tamang-tama lang yung timpla nila dito in acting. And again, it highlights the mother, like the bond between mother and child, which is not as dramatic and traumatic as Firefly, for example. So it's really powerful. This one is just, you know, it's very mundane in contrast. You know, it's just about them trying to maintain a family. Kahit dalawa lang sila, nawala yung tatay, you know. And there's even a conversation where, you know, Sharon's character should start dating again. So that's a very modern topic, you know. Widows dating again. Bago lang yan. Or like he's, Alden's character is supposed to leave for Singapore to fly the nest, to move on. But of course, he can't leave his mom walang mag-aalaga sa kanya.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a very strong,
I know, yeah.
Yeah, tension between
yes,
the film.
Yes, yes. And I know a lot of people in that same situation. Parang sila lang ng mom nila ang magkasama.
But at the end of the day, it's a very simple story. And I think it's in order for you to make a good, enjoyable film, it doesn't have to try and win awards. It just needs to be honest with its story and trust in its story. In the same way that, you know, Firefly does. It doesn't, it can easily overdo it. I think I meant, someone pointed out to me that, actually, the two young characters, sina Billy and Erica, correct me if, someone should correct me if I'm wrong, but actually, makalove din sila sa Voltes 5 or something, or sa ibang mga. But, and if it were like a commercial film, they would highlight the killing parts. And there was some tension between the two characters. They focused on the story of Tonton, because it's not about them. But it could be.
Tama. Yeah. Oh, you're a Firefly. Yes. Yung dalawang ano, yung dalawa. In the end, mukhang implied na sila yung nagkatuluyan and may anak sila. But you're right. Parang kung commercial film, that would be very obvious and may mga moments. Yep. At
parang wala naman halatang ano product placement, which is good kasi yung mga dating ending episode, parang ginagamit na lang yung Tide, yung Joy.
Sa rewind, mukhang may konti pero hindi ganun ka
distracting.
Tagal. Oh. Hindi distracting. Mm. Parang makikita mo lang may ginamit silang product, but alam mong product placement, but hindi siya, no? Hindi siya yung nag-dwell too much on the product. So, yeah.
Yes.
Alright, Matt. Salamat sa insights. We've come to the end of the episode.
Already? Oh my.
I enjoyed this episode. Thanks for accepting my invite again. Please invite the listeners to PI Podcast. And how can we follow you on social media?
Well, before I do that, first of all, I do want to just highlight that I think this current MMFF has given a lot of hope for local cinema. So I hope people are open to giving it a chance, you know. I mean, and even if it's bad, I mean, hindi naman sayang manood ng pangit na movie, you know. It's a good way to reflect what works for you or what works for our audiences. And I think it's just because a movie doesn't have to be You don't have to like a movie for it to be good for you. You know, it's a chance for you to experience the stories of other people, you know, or the values of other people. And so it doesn't need to be all Vice Ganda or all Vice, all Vic Soto, you know, or even all prestige and indie films. I think this is a good balance and a good mix. And I hope we can all continue talking about these movies of different perspectives, different styles, and different genres. And hopefully have good movies, not just in film festivals, but also throughout the year.
The whole year round, yeah.
Yeah, sana. Yeah. And hopefully, you know, we can continue talking about different movies, I mean, of different genres. In the PI podcast, we have it in a segment called Film Institute. And of course, we talk about different political issues of different political perspectives. You can find us on Spotify and YouTube, and you may contact me on via Facebook in the PI podcast page or in our email at PIPodcastPH@gmail.com. So that's PI podcast. It's the political insights for the palaging Ilis. So yes.
How do we search? How do we search? Sorry, how do we search PI podcast? Because minsan I tried to search it. Is it p.i.podcast or p?
I think it's easier just PI pod. P like just PI. P, okay. Podcast.
Parang pi, the circle, yung sa circle na pi.
Yeah, but that's another podcast.
So oh, may ganun pala.
The pi, there is a pi podcast. So okay, okay. We just realized that later on, but yeah, the PI, just follow the links. Hopefully, that you, if Jay would share,
I will check out
his episode, which are some of the best that we've had. Yeah, your episode, I think, with Mike Pastor was one of the most shared. So a lot of people watch it. So hopefully, for those of you who haven't watched it, Jay was great there. So support him in that episode. There, interesting episode that was. Yeah.
Okay, Matt. Thanks. This has been a great conversation.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you. Hope to be back.
Okay. This is another episode of the Jay Aruga Show. At the end of the day, it will be night. Goodbye.